This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a very special ENN. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael, if I can.
And I use words as tools, but as weapons. And
good evening to Don.
I'm Mr. Joe Football.
Well, perfect, Don, because my special guest today on tonight's ENN is also Mr. Joe Football. Actually, he's Mr. Joe Quarterback of the New York Giants, Daniel Jones. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
We're good. We're good. Welcome to ENN. How was practice today?
It was good. It was good. Got out there a little earlier today and, got some good work in. I think, getting into, the middle of camp here and getting ready for game prep here next week. So it's been a good camp so far.
Now, Daniel, how different is Jason Garrett's system than the one you were in last year?
I think that, there's certainly differences in the system, but, there's also a lot of similarities. So, I think for me in learning the system, I think, I can find ways to compare it. But overall, I think just focusing on what I need to learn and focusing on this system and picking up as well as I can is kind of, where my head's at. And I think, I think that's kind of as our team in general, we're all doing the best we can to pick it up and to learn as fast as we can.
The easiest way for the media and the fans to see improvement is you to be better than 4-12 last year. But beyond the wins and losses, what are some of the ways we can look at Daniel Jones and say he's a better quarterback than he was last year?
I think for me, going into my second year, I think there'll be a lot of things that I, hopefully can take from that first year and experience. And I think overall, making quick decisions, getting the ball out of my hand and making sure I'm, going the right place with the ball and consistently doing that. So I think, just overall understanding of, what the defense is trying to do and getting the ball out and making the right decision.
I'm sure you hear people talk about you putting the football on the ground. It hit the ground 18 times last year, and that was like the only knock people could really come up with on your game last year because people saw a lot they were impressed with. What's some specific work you do on that? Everyone seems to think it's something that is very fixable, but what is the work you do to fix that?
Yeah, I think it's very fundamental in that a lot of those problems are prevented with, ball security and keeping two hands on the ball in the pocket and making sure I'm doing that while I'm moving in the pocket. So there's lots of things in practice you can do to simulate that. I think, a lot of individual drills where you're working through the pocket and whether you have guys, simulating a rush and hitting you or whatever the, case is, I think just maintaining those good fundamentals of having two hands on the ball in the pocket, I think, is key to that.
Our guest on the Michael Kay Show is Giant quarterback Daniel Jones. Now, Daniel, the way you handled last year I thought was perfect. You had such respect for Eli Manning, and he deserved the respect with two Super Bowls. He'd been there forever. But now you are the guy. What's the difference at where you don't have to be the guy who subjugates everything to Eli because Eli started as the starter? What's the difference for you this year being the man?
I think, like I said, I can take a lot of the experiences from last year and use them, hopefully going into this year and learning a lot. I think, I certainly learned a ton from Eli. I appreciate, everything he did and all I was able to learn. This is a new team. This is a new year. I think that's what, we're focused on and, certainly where my focus is. But I'm excited. The work we've put in camp so far and looking forward to week one.
But was it weird last year, Daniel, that you took Eli Manning's job? I mean, that's the way it had to be looked at because it was your time, and I know you had respect for him. So was it a weird feeling where Eli was still in the building and you were playing his position?
I don't think it was. I think, you know, me and Eli have a great relationship. And like I said, I learned a ton from him. And you know, throughout the season last year, he was, you know, he was extremely helpful. And you know, I learned a ton. So, you know, I don't really think it was. I think, you know, it was certainly beneficial to me. And like I said, I'm appreciative for all he did.
What's life for you in training camp after losing your left tackle and Solder?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a good camp. You know, we have you know, Andrew's playing left tackle, and he's done a great job through camp. You know, he's stepped in and played well for us. So, you know, obviously a tough decision, you know, for Nate, but, you know, certainly something as teammates that we all understand, and something that, you know, we have the utmost respect for. So, you know, we've had guys step up, and I think we're, you know, in a good spot going into week one.
What's Joe Judge been like?
He's been good. I think, you know, we've all enjoyed, you know, we've enjoyed camp so far, and you know, he's got a specific approach and a purpose and what he, you know, what he wants to see every day out there on the practice field, the fundamentals and the drills that he, you know, has put into practice. So I think that's, you know, guys can understand his purpose, understand why he's doing things, and, you know, are certainly embracing that. And it's been, you know, been a good camp.
There was a lot of chatter and among people like us when he first got here that he wouldn't specifically name players starting a position. And we kind of always felt, well, why can't you name Saquon Barkley or Daniel Jones? Did that bother you at all, or no?
No, it didn't. It didn't really. I think, you know, he had a, you know, that was the way he went about it, and I, you know, had respect for that. I think, you know, like everything he's done, he's had a, you know, had a purpose and had a goal, and you know, as players, it's our job to understand that, and you know, I certainly did.
Before we let you go, we'll ask you the same thing we just asked Saquon. Roger Goodell came out today and said that they will allow teams that perform in states that will allow fans to have fans, and he said the competition committee doesn't think that it's a competitive disadvantage for teams that can have fans. We all disagree with that. What's your take on it, Daniel? Do you think if you play the Cowboys down in Jerry World and they have 30,000 people, and then you play them up here at MetLife and you guys can't have anybody because of New Jersey, does that hurt you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be different. You know, certainly a lot of different situations this year with the virus and you know, people adapting to it. But you know, whatever the situation is, wherever, you know, we're playing, I think we'll be ready for it, and you know, we'll embrace it. So I'm not sure I'm looking at it as an advantage or a disadvantage, but you know, we're just excited to get back out on the field.
Now, Saquon said that when you guys played the scrimmage the other night, that it was weird that somebody, one of his teammates, said to him, "Well, we're really in a pandemic." Was it weird having no one in the stands, Daniel?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly different than you know, how it feels running out there on game day and in front of a lot of fans, in front of a full stadium. But you know, we understand that, and I think, you know, guys are, you know, more than anything, just excited to get out on the field and excited to play a game. So, you know, we'll embrace it. I know guys will be, you know, energized and juiced up for the opportunity to play.
Daniel, do you know if they'll pump in crowd noise loud enough so that you don't have to maybe be overheard by the other team in the huddle?
I don't know that yet. I'd be interested to find out for sure, but yeah, I guess I've heard, you know, talks of that just you know, out there, but I don't know any more than y'all do about that. But it'll be interesting to see how everything plays out and how they, you know, set it up for you know, for those situations. But like I said, we're excited and looking forward to getting out there.
Well, Daniel, we thank you for coming on the show. We do appreciate it. I know you've had a busy day today, so good luck this season. Hopefully we'll talk at another time. Thanks so much.
All right, great. Thanks for having me.
You got it.
Daniel
Jones on ENN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
See, yeah, I don't know if you guys noticed watching basketball and hockey. You could hear the dialogue on the ice and on the court.
Yeah.
Because there's no crowd. So isn't it possible?
If a linebacker hears like the verbiage slant left 8-15 Sally, I mean, do they even know what that means?
Then why are you even huddling then? I mean, obviously, you know, there's certain things to get picked up on, right? Mm-hmm. So, and I would think if they don't have any crowd noise or minimal crowd noise, then I guess that could be heard. I don't know. I mean, you huddle for a reason, right? So I guess there's some things that you want to be secretive or calls that you don't want them to hear.
Right.
I don't want to be that guy.
But you will be.
Well, I have to be. If that guy is being honest, then I have to be that guy. Now, some people could say, well, that guy is being a
nozzle.
No.
Jackwagon.
No, well, maybe. I was going to say more like an ishter, if you will. But in your guys' opinion, I'm going to ask a question. We asked both players, both stars of the Giants, who we just had on the Michael Kay Show, Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones. We asked them both, about Joe Judge's style and philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Did one of them sound more enthused by the style than the other to you?
Yes. I think Saquon sounded more enthused than Daniel, yes.
I thought the same thing.
Now, I don't think it's an issue.
I'm not saying it's an issue. I'm just saying, but in terms of everyone's going to handle it differently, Daniel gave us a much more like, he's got a method, that's his method. That was kind of it. Saquon seemed a little more enthusiastic about it.
Well, I didn't get that, but I defer to you guys.
Yeah, Michael, did you pay attention? Do you listen to the guest? He's on your show.
I'm not going to go there.
I listen intently because you know I'm trying to land this plane all the time. So yeah.
You're obviously not a master of shade. Like if you watched the Brandy Monica versus battle last night, you wouldn't have known that when Brandy and Monica were shading each other.
Was there a major drip?
Again, not how you want. So you know what, though? Someone, I can't remember who, and I feel bad. Someone did tweet me yesterday and tell me how you could have said what you wanted to say about ENN.
Well, tell us what that person said.
You would have said ENN fin the slap.
Is what?
Fin the slap.
Fin the slap?
Finna. F-I-N-N-A, like fitting to.
Finna slap.
No, no, slap, like getting slapped. It's fin the slap.
I don't get it. I don't get it. What does that mean?
Well,
is the English language that boring that we've just got to completely change it?
I think it is, Don. I think it is.
Slap is like good. It's like something being good, like this burger's slapping, this song is slapping, anything can slap and be good. It can be slapping or slap.
But what's finna mean?
Finna is like fitting to. Is the slang technique?
Well, maybe Ray from North Carolina was complimenting the show when he said, "I slap the hogs now and then." Maybe he was slapping the hogs. I thought he was slapping the hog.
By the way, we could get into a whole other thing about what slapping the hog really means, but that's neither here nor there. Fin the slap.
Fin the slap. Yeah, I won't be using that. I'll use the words that are just my disposal right now.
Right, it's a little uncomfortable.
Fin the slap. Yeah,
sleek was easy back in the day. This is now it's getting complicated.
I think I'm actually going to go with drip.
You're just going to go with drip, no matter what.
Even if it's not right, I feel comfortable with it.
Fin the slap.
Thin the slap.
I love when I can hear RJ smiling through silence. So the Saints are reportedly open to trading Alvin Kamara, according to Jacinta Anderson.
Well, there you go.
Wait a minute. Another person also piggybacked on that report and said they want to sign him long term, and if they can't, then they will trade him.
Well, the
so
question
it's not like they
is,
want to get rid of him.
He is going to ask for. There are people who think he's going to ask for $15 million a year,
and he's not going to get that.
And
then he will be traded.
That'd be like Finland slap.
Yeah, I mean Derrick Henry money, Christian McCaffrey money.
future Saquon money?
Yeah, I don't know if that's – but Kamara's very, very good. But is it – I don't think he's going to get that. So the question is what will happen there. And then if you're a team that really needs something, is it worth it to try to get him for the last year of his deal?
Well,
knowing he's going to want that.
He was a third-round pick, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Let's take a look.
There, I think it's a legitimate question. Like, is he just a byproduct of their system? Like, are they a team – that they could pretty much throw in a comparable and get equal number out of it.
Well, if they trade him, they probably think that. But I don't believe that.
I don't know. I think there's some truth. I just think that their system is just so conducive to just having a back get major yardage. And if you think I can go get him and see the same production when you don't have Drew Brees at quarterback and all the weapons that they have.
Third round, 67 overall.
Yeah. So... and listen, maybe that was a mistake that he dropped to the third round, or is it that he's a good back that is great in New Orleans?
Well, that's some of the argument that's going to exist there right now, which was that when he wasn't available, Latavius Murray was very good.
That's right.
So there are people who feel that they don't need him, but Latavius Murray is 31 years old, and Kamara's only missed three games over the last 3 years. So you're getting just that
rather than give him $15 million, I'll plug in someone else and get similar production.
Right.
But you don't want to make the mistake because this is Breeze's last year, right? So you don't want to mess that up.
And then, Peter, of course, they'll bring in Taysom Hall, right?
That's right. You love Taysom Hall.
The most effective quarterback was Taysom Hall.
You know?
Yeah, one day you guys will miss me. One day.
Are you going somewhere?
You never know.
He's really been threatening to leave.
No, I'm not threatening. Not threatening at all.
He's like Hyman Roth. He's been dying from the same heart attack for 20 years.
Okay.
And you know what? Michael didn't buy into it, and I'm not buying into it.
Buy into what?
Well, Michael didn't buy into the fact that Hyman Roth was going to die, so he had him killed at the airport. I'm not buying that you're leaving anytime soon.
Damn right. Me neither. Now... Chris Paul, very good last night. Very, very good.
CP3.
That's right. He scored 8 of Oklahoma City's final 12 last night, including go-ahead free throws with 13 seconds left to force a Game 7 with Houston. But, guys, the conversation, the social media yesterday, the talk of the town was Russell Westbrook's 7 turnovers, including one throwaway with under 20 seconds that likely... blew the game. Now, keep in mind, that throwaway was brutal, guys, but the throwaway came just a couple of minutes or a couple of seconds after an air ball. He pulled up from just behind the free throw line, airballed a jump shot that James Harden miraculously saved.
Mm.
But, I mean, Westbrook did everything basically that you wouldn't want to have him do over the last 2 minutes of that game. Very tough.
Yeah, it was the anti-Lillard, right? Like Lillard, like when something bad happened, all of a sudden he'd just play out of his mind. Westbrook almost let it get to him.
It was not what you want. By the way, Celtics Raptors underway, game 2, 35-34 Boston, 6.5 minutes to go in the second quarter. Washington football will be investigated, and they will be investigated now by the NFL. Commissioner Roger Goodell informed Dan Snyder of the change Monday.
And Daniel Snyder said, thank you, may I have another?
Yes, yeah, Snyder said he suggested the change. So Washington had hired attorney Beth Wilkinson on the recommendation of Goodell to investigate. But now, I guess, Goodell heard the outcry from the media and the fans and realized that you can't have someone who did something wrong investigate themselves. So he is going to investigate, but Snyder said, thank you for going with my idea to investigate us. We really appreciate that.
What a mess. If there's a team that deserves to have no name, it's them.
No name, of course.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.